Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This, wow, I can't believe that happened moment, but...
Well, I think we did, but it was Duke.
Right. Well, I think overall...
Oh, yeah, first weekend, the disappointment, the first two days were pretty lackluster.
But I think, to be honest, I think the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, Final Four, and Championship really made up for it. And that's what's memorable about this tournament, where... You know, you get the Texas Tech comeback against Arkansas, and then you had the Florida comeback against Texas Tech, and then you had the Duke collapse against Houston, and then, you know, you had the Houston-Purdue game and how that played out. Like, there were some duds, there's no doubt. Like, Alabama-Duke and, you know, Houston-Tennessee were really not all that entertaining.
The Elite Eight closed very poorly.
Agreed. But I thought Auburn-Michigan, even though it was a 13-point game at the end, I thought that was a great comeback by Auburn and kind of woke up the beast a little bit. But I think overall, the lack of memorable first round games was kind of the bummer. We didn't get that half court shot three, you know, that opening game, whatever it was. We just didn't get it. Like Michigan UC San Diego was like, it was a good game, but like that's kind of what we had to hold our hat on in the first round.
Yeah, I think that's right. All right. Biggest annoyance of the tournament.
Cinderella's not dead, okay? The mid-major is not dead. It's going to be challenging. It's a new wrinkle. But I just feel like people who don't love this sport and people who parachute in for 3 weeks, all they want to do is kind of crap on the product. And we just did it to an extent saying, the first round was lackluster. But it was immediately the takes of, we essentially should just get rid of every other conference in the country. The AAC and the MVC and the Mountain West and the Big West, all these conferences should just cease to exist because Cinderella is dead. We forget that 2 years ago, Florida Atlantic went to the Final Four. We forget that even though it's not a true Cinderella, NC State had no business making the NCAA tournament, but they won their conference tournament, and then they made it to the Final Four. Like, I understand that we had all four one seeds and that the lowest seed in the Elite Eight was a three in Texas Tech. But this tournament's been around at this form or fashion since 1985, and it has always continued to reinvent itself. So I'm just not ready to say that it's all over and cream's always going to rise to the top. And then lastly, I'll say this, dude. You're a liar because you don't even like Cinderella. The ratings tell you you don't like Cinderella. You love to pretend, I like the little guy and I want St. Peter's. You like St. Peter's winning the first round against Kentucky. But
anybody enjoy that Elite Eight game?
Did you like when St. Peter's had to play against UNC in the Elite Eight, and they lost by 30 or whatever
it was?
Well,
I did, because I had... Sure. That was like a TCU game, the TCU-Georgia game. I found every alt line I could.
If you're realistic about yourself regarding Cinderella, this is what you like about Cinderella. You like Cinderella like Oakland last year. They beat Kentucky, and then they went to overtime against NC State and lost. Cool story. Get out of the way. Let the Blue Bloods and let the big boys take advantage later on down
the reality road. Is, and I can't remember if I said this to you or if I said it on to someone else. We like when Cinderella beats a coach that we don't like and gives them an embarrassing loss. That's what we like.
Yeah. And Oakland last year against Cal.
Yes. I mean, that's when you think about the ones that we care
Izzo
about.
Izzo to Middle Tennessee State after he was complaining that they should have been a one and they lost. But we don't. Now, are there unique situations where, you know, a team like the Florida Gulf Coast, you know, makes the run to the Sweet 16? Like, that was awesome.
Yeah, that was awesome. Steph, his junior year, was awesome.
I mean, Steph was a shot away from making the Final Four. Like, Loyola made it to the Final Four. That was cool. And then they got smashed. George Mason, all-time game against UConn in the Elite Eight. By George, they've done it, from Vern Lundquist. And then they got smashed by Florida. Like, we like Cinderella until we don't. Because then they get their ass kicked inevitably, and we're like, oh, this game stinks. I'm going to turn it off. At the end of the day, be honest with yourself. You didn't want Cinderella in this Final Four. And guess what? The ratings prove it out. It was the most watched Final Four in, what, a decade?
Yeah. All right, my biggest annoyance, when you get tournaments like this, it's just your group chat, everyone that's watched 0 seconds of college basketball talking about how great their brackets were. Okay.
All my Twitter feed was last night was just check marks of people. I had Florida 20-1.
Yeah, you and 30% of the country. Like, come on. Like,
I mean, hey, man, I don't hate the player, hate the game, I guess. You know, congratulations. And by the way, were you tweeting about Florida when they were down 12?
It was funny. Were you watching?
Because we were. So I was at the Westgate Superbook last night watching the game, and the whole group I was with was on Houston. So we were feeling good. We were loud. We were cheering. We weren't obnoxious. We were just cheering for our side. And it was quiet, man. But boy, I was like, at the end of that game, I'm like, where the hell did you guys come from? Like, wow, everyone in here wanted Florida.
Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania coming in from the rafters.
My goodness, like, what is happening?
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, the Denver Nuggets have followed the Grizzlies' lead. They have fired Michael. Don't call me Mike. Although maybe when he gets fired, maybe it's Mike Malone. They have also gotten rid of their GM. We'll talk about that. We'll also get into the final AP polls. Also, Wes Reynolds is going to preview the Masters with us coming up during hour number two. Stick around and listen to Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. The Zen Sports app is getting a major upgrade soon. Zen Sports will be launching the new state-of-the-art VIP play app later this month. You'll be able to bet on more than 200-plus sports leagues and parlay nearly every bet offered, period. I'll also have my own special same-game parlays featured, and so will many more of your favorite sports talk hosts throughout the station. Head on over to zensports.com/VIPplay to learn more and to also claim an early welcome bonus offer on VIP Play when it launches later this month. If you got a gambling problem, call 1-800-889-9789. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Zen Sports, betting just got better. Let's get into the list. The Denver Nuggets. Yeah, it's from ESPN. The Denver Nuggets fired head coach Michael Malone and said they would not extend general manager Calvin Booth's contract Tuesday, just days before the end of the regular season. David Adelman, the Nuggets' lead assistant, will take over as the head coach for the remainder of the season. Quote, the shocking decision to fire the coach and eventually part ways with the general manager, who won a championship in 2023, comes at a time when the Nuggets, 47-32, have lost four straight games and are in danger of falling into the play-in. It has been a frustrating stretch for the Nuggets, as three-time MVP and current MVP candidate Nikola Jokic has tried to keep things together while Jamal Murray has been out for five straight games with a hamstring injury. This now also means that is now four straight coaches the last four championship coaches have all been fired from their respective teams. But I think I wanted to start here, Tim. Like, all jokes aside, do we think this happens if the Grizzlies don't fire Taylor Jenkins 2 weeks ago?
I don't know.
Not even from not not necessarily from the idea of, oh, the Grizzlies started a trend.
The trendsetters.
It's more of, I don't even really feel like this was like an option on the table until 2 weeks ago. And then I do make note of, while it was a decision that was shocking and, you know, throughout some areas of the internet, you could hear some, this is ridiculous. For the most part, the Grizzlies didn't really get killed for the decision.
No, and, you know, this one is, I mean, once again, it almost feels, I mean, it's very similar.
It definitely rhymes with what the Grizzlies did. Like, if you, Matt Moore pointed out on Twitter that largely the feeling was after the playoff exit, Malone would be dismissed. There was bickering with assistants. The post All-Star break numbers have been terrible. They've been on a massive losing streak. Like it checked all the same boxes for the Grizzlies.
I mean, the biggest difference, obviously, is
he has a title.
He won a title 2 years ago.
Correct.
And I'm trying to remember when Nurse got fired in Toronto. Was that how far after that was that? Because
so I think Budenholzer was the closest. I want to say Budenholzer was in like 12 or 11 months. Because right, he got fired right after the Hawks beat him, I believe, right? So Nurse was fired in April of 23. So they won in 19. So Nurse got like whatever, three seasons roughly after.
Because Nurse, after they won the title, was kind of being applauded as like, this is the next guy. This is the next elite coach.
Yes. Well, I just remember whenever I saw, when Nick Nurse started having like his own like logo on his hats, I was like, I'm not sure about this guy. That one was a little weird to me. Like, he was showing up with like the golfer initials like on his hat. I was like, I guess we're in the era of branding, so.
But then after they won the title, everyone was kind of like, I love this guy, right? He was talking crap about LeBron, right? He was going at LeBron and the Lakers and all of this. Like, well, you guys always talk about the Lakers. Where are they now? You know? And it was this kind of braggadocious type of bravado that he had. Rightfully so, man. You won the title. Like, do your thing, man. And they smoked everyone in that playoff run. But this is pretty wild. Like,
so here's where I think,
man, it's April 8th. They have 4 games left in the season.
Here's what I think might actually be happening. I mean, obviously, there has to be dysfunction, period. I do think what it shows is a lot of these teams in the West are very fearful of falling into the play-in. Mm-hmm. And I think what that displays to me is, okay, it's not just fall into the play-in, but it's like if you fall into the play-in and then you wind up having to play the Thunder and all of a sudden like that's your first round exit. And I do think maybe there's something to be said for, we can discuss whether or not the evaluation is correct, but if you've decided it's over, like this is the, it does feel like their intention with this move is the same intention the Grizzlies had, which is it's bad. We know it's over. Let's at least try to do something to spark a little bit of a push towards the end of the year and see maybe if we can avoid the play-in, and then maybe we can have like a little bit of a, you know, even if it's fake enthusiasm or if it's, you know, the interim coach bump,
yep.
Like, let's see if we can take advantage of that and avoid the disaster scenario, which is going from the second seed to the play-in.
And at the end of the day, you've got the best player in the world on your roster who has had a 60-point triple-double in, what, the past week?
Yep.
In a loss, also worth noting.
Shout out Westbrook.
Good job, Russ. NBA, man. The Western Conference is wild. Because, right, as you pointed out, Lakers right now are third, and they're a whopping 2 games ahead of the Grizzlies.
Well, I mean, this is, While it's
And the Lakers, I think, are resting everyone tonight because they're like a 15.5 point underdog to the Thunder.
While it is unlikely, the NBA comms pointed out 19 of the 20 playoff seeds are still up for grabs. So while the Rockets are going to have to work pretty hard to not be the two seed, the Lakers still could be the two, and then 3 through 8 is all the same 6 teams. All decided by basically, you know, a game and a half. And then 4 through 8 is going to be decided, I think, right now by a half of a game. Also, the decision was to fire Calvin Booth or not renew his contract. Also, I want to give a quick shout out on Twitter. I think I saw the perfect tweet today.
Ooh.
I agree. This is a perfect tweet.
Okay. So the handle is Penis Hernandez 2. I'm not making that joke up. It's 2 Penis 2 Hernandez. Just learning today that Calvin Booth looks like someone photoshopped Nicolas Cage's face onto Mike Brown, and it's right over the top of Shams's infographic. I mean, it's chef kiss. Like, you literally, as soon as he put it into Twitter and I looked at it, you can't see anything other than it looks like a mashup of Nick Cage and Mike Brown. I mean, right? Also, Tyler Coleman sent us the Nuggets Reddit page of the summary of Calvin Booth's transactions since signing KCP and Bruce Brown. Traded Bones Highland and 2 second-rounders for Thomas Bryant in February of 23. Nuggets win the championship. Traded 29 first-round pick and draft rights to Maxwell Lewis to draft rights of Julian Swather, Hunter Tyson, and Jalen Pickett. Allow Bruce Brown, Jeff Green, Thomas Bryant to become unrestricted free agents and sign elsewhere. On that one, I do put a little bit of an asterisk. It seems to me like Kroenke said on that one, we ain't going into the tax. So I would imagine Booth would have liked to have re-signed Bruce Brown, but couldn't. Offered Reggie Jackson a 2-year, $10 million, including a player option deal in July of 23. Extended Zeke Nnaji to a 4-year, $32 million deal with a player option. Traded the draft rights to Ryan Dunn and 3 second-rounders for Daron Holmes, the 22nd pick in 2024. Allowed KCP and Justin Holiday to become free agents and sign elsewhere. Traded 3 second-rounders and Reggie Jackson for cash considerations. Like, this is where I do want to point out, like, all these moves sound like ownership moves, not moves that a GM would want to do. Offers Dario Saric a 2-year, $11 million deal. Offers Russell Westbrook a 2-year, $7 million deal. Extends Jamal Murray 4 years, $208 million deal. In summary, players going out: Bruce Brown, KCP, Jeff Green, Reggie Jackson, Thomas Bryant, Bones Highland, Justin Holiday, Ryan Dunn, Maxwell Lewis, 8 second-rounders and 1 first. Extensions: Murray, Nnaji, and brought in Dario Saric, Russell Westbrook, Julian Swather, Hunter Tyson, Jalen Pickett, Daron Holmes, cash considerations. I think it's one of those things where it's like, as a fan, when you see your team win a title, you think like, oh, this is going to motivate my team to sit there and go, let's do it again. Every single one of these options to me more or less reeks of like someone who is operating under a budget.
Yeah, and some of those moves, I don't know. I mean, I think Bones Highland, that's one that I never really had a big issue with. I'm like, if you can't figure out how to play with Jokic, that's kind of on you.
So agreed.
Like that was a move there. I mean, I'm never going to be in favor of signing Russell Westbrook ever. But like a 2-year, $7 million deal, I don't know, wasn't the worst thing in the world. But
I mean, Russ had the hilarious moment last week in which we talked about ruining the Jokic's 61-point triple-double. But kind of in the role that he's had this year, he's been pretty decent.
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, his Lakers tenure was much more catastrophic than his Nuggets run here. So I'm not going to sit here and say Calvin Booth was awesome. But yeah, it did feel like after you win the title, it was like, all right, we won our title. Now these role pieces that everyone just saw on the biggest stage make big plays, they're going to be wanted, and we're going to let them go.
Like, to me, I know you do the morning show in Milwaukee. Like, it's a little different to me than the Bucks. Like, I think the Bucks have tried to shake it up and to make it better. They just... It's
traded
just
Drew Holiday.
Right.
I mean, Drew Holiday won a title there and ended up winning a title with the Celtics, as albeit as their, what, you know, fourth option. But they, yeah, to their...
They've tried to shuffle and get better. Like, they're not doing it cheap. It just hasn't worked.
Right. Dame, like, they tried... They bowed out early after winning their title, and they made a big move, right? They got rid of Drew Holiday. They don't have Chris Middleton anymore, but it hasn't worked. They're a four seed, and Giannis, I mean, not that we're kind of venturing off on different thoughts here, but like I can't envision Giannis being in Milwaukee for that many more years if this is the way the franchise is headed.
I will say there's a little of Schadenfreude in me in which I did laugh at, like, it took all of 6 seconds after this news was released for the internet to do the photoshops of Jokic in the Lakers jersey.
Yeah,
like, it was kind of nice to see somebody else go through that. But I actually thought this was a more interesting take. Bob Little of Black Sports Online, maybe one of the internet's greatest characters of all time, like truly the headline god. Do you think Luka enjoys, like, if he has a mediocre game, like, the entire A block of First Take is just Luka sucks? Like, I do wonder, like, if you're the Lakers, I think probably they're going to figure out, like, okay, we're never letting this guy go. But, like, I almost felt like it was more likely if Luka and Jokic played together, it'd be in Denver than it would be in L.A.
I don't see Jokic being a guy that is going to be excited to go to LA.
That just doesn't seem like... It almost feels to me like Denver might be too cosmopolitan.
I don't know what... I mean, he's the guy that... remember when Steve Francis got drafted by Vancouver?
Oh, was like, boy, do we. We know the history.
Yeah. Well, of course, that franchise is now your franchise. Mm-hmm.
And he is the franchise.
I feel like Jokic would enjoy being in Vancouver.
I think that's probably fair.
I mean, well, by the way, I'll just point this out. Vancouver might be my favorite city in the world.
It's beautiful.
That place is amazing.
Yeah. I like Seattle, too, though, because it's America. It's just right there. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Wes Reynolds is going to preview the Masters for us. I told Tim this. Maybe it's with the tours being split. The majors just feel so much more. Maybe it's because I'm just starving for some more sports after the tournament ends, but I've got the Masters feels right now. Let's preview it with Wes Reynolds when we come back right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM. Yeah.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wes Reynolds is VSiN's golf gambling expert, kind enough to join us on short notice. Wes, I guess I have to start here. I'm in this weird spot of protecting my heart and using my brain. I had decided a couple of years ago, Rory's never winning at Augusta. I don't think he hits his irons close enough. And like for being, there's a lot of similarities of guys that are great drivers of the golf ball, not winning at Augusta, but thinking they should win at Augusta. But this year he's hitting his irons a little better, and my wife's still in the move of don't get your hopes up, don't get your hopes up, and I'm trying to like tell myself don't get your hopes up. What do you think? Because I do actually think Scotty's a little scratchy coming in, hasn't been great off the injury, had a decent putting week last week, but it does feel like there's an opportunity for Rory this year.
Yeah, look, I'm right there with you. And I think the whole key is if he gets off to a good start. I've already bet a top 10 on him, and I'm debating if I want to bet an outright or if I want to wait, because if you look at recent history, this is going back till 2019 at the Masters. If you look at his position versus who the first round leader is, 7 back, 10 back, 11 back, 6 back, 7 back, 6 back.
No chance.
So the whole key is he's got to get off to a good start. You know, if he's right there, a couple off the lead, I think he may win a thing. And you mentioned about his irons. This is the best he's hit on approach in years. He led at the Players' Championship when he won on approach, led the field for it. He's already won twice this year at Pebble Beach. And then, of course, as I mentioned, at the Players. So this is the best form I think he's had coming in. But we've been saying, man, this is Rory's year since 2015. And we've been saying that. So I'm exercising a little bit of caution because I think he contends. But do I want to bet a short price on an outright? So I think top 10 probably is the way to go.
Wes Reynolds joining us here on the show, and you can read his extensive write-up over on vsin.com. That's VSIN.com. You can follow him on social media at WesReynolds1. Wes, it almost feels a little bit like Tiger, where you have to start a conversation with Scotty Scheffler. And I saw Jason Sobel just tweet this out a little while ago where he said, I just interviewed Scotty Scheffler and he said, this is the most prepared he's been for any tournament this year. He won it last year. Betting against Scotty seems like a dumb thing to do, but you know, as bettors, we want juicier odds. He's what, 4-1 to win this thing. I think he's, you know, -105 or something like that, Wes, to finish top five. What are you planning to do with Scotty, if anything, for the Masters?
I haven't done anything as of yet, Tim, because We don't see a defense of a title at Augusta National very often. Tiger Woods was the last guy to do it, by the way, in 2002. So, look, if anybody can do it, I guess Scottie Scheffler can. He did it at the Players' Championship a couple years ago. But he's still a great player, and he's still rightfully favored number one in the world. But what I think people lose in context is that last year was a historical season in terms of his ball striking, where he led in so many different categories on the PGA Tour, on approach, on scrambling, you name it. It seems like he either led it or he was in top two or three in the category. And he got off to a little slow start this year because he had the hand surgery with the glass in his hand. So he missed the first couple events, but at Houston, I think he kind of started to pick it up, where it's like, okay, he's kind of getting back here, because I was sweating that Minwoo Lee, of course, down in Houston at 35-1. And it's like, oh man, this guy just won't go away. It's like, go away, man, because that's what we do as bettors. I try to beat the favorite. It's like horse racing where you try to do that. But he's been a tough nut to crack, but he's a little bit down from that lofty standard last year, where he led in approach, led in total strokes gain, led in strokes gain tee to green. And, you know, I'm willing to let him beat me here. So I'm not against him, but I'm not on him.
What do we do with a guy like Colin Morikawa? Because everyone will tell you the most predictable major is the Masters. It's a limited field. There's a large portion of the field that can't win it. There's a certain type of player. You got to hit it high. You got to hit it far, which, hey, spoiler alert, if you hit it high, far, and straight, and you hit it close with your irons, you can win at Augusta. It's like, okay, so you can win anywhere. But the profile that Colin has right now is very much of somebody that should be a favorite, and yet I can't figure out how I've got a guy here that has two major championships, and, man, I just don't trust it. How are you seeing Colin right now?
I did play him actually this week, and I don't like it, so I'm very reluctantly playing him. But I had to go on the fact that the approach numbers, he's back to elite level now. And when I was writing my column up this morning at VSiN.com, I wrote that it's almost unfathomable that he has not won on American soil in over 4 years. He's won internationally, and of course won two major championships in less than a calendar year: the PGA at Harding Park, and then the Open at Royal St. George. But this is a guy that I think with the irons back, when you're good with the irons, you can make up for the fact that maybe you're a little bit shorter off the tee. And he's 168th, I think, on the PGA Tour right now in average driving distance. So he's down there, but when hitting those approaches so pinpoint, and if you look each of the last 3 years, fifth in 2022, T10 in 2023, third last year, he's probably smarting a little bit from the fact that he gave that event away at Bay Hill in Orlando last month at the Arnold Palmer, where Russell Henley made that incredible shot on 16 to take the lead and eventually win. But I'm going to play him this year, and he's a guy that I backed a little bit, maybe too often, that has cost me some money. But I think the irons are going to be really sharp this week. I'd be surprised if he didn't contend.
Wes, a guy that I think a lot of us have bet on over the years and finally got not one but two wins a year ago. And, man, I'm still mad that I wasn't on Xander at any point in those in the PGA or the Open Championship. Top 10 in every major last year. He's done very well at the Masters. If you look back, T2 in 19, T3 in 21. Missed the cut in 22, but back-to-back top 10 finishes. When you look at Xander, is he someone that you're looking to put on your card? Looks like you can get him, you know, plus 160 or so in the top 10.
Yeah, I think he's probably the hardest player to handicap this week, because the fact of the matter is he's got two current major championship trophies on his mantle, the Wanamaker from the PGA and then the Claret Jug from the Open last year. So he is now a world-class major champion, and that's what he needed to prove, and he did prove it last year. But he did miss a couple months this year with that rib injury. Now, he's been back for three events, hasn't really contended anywhere, even though his approach numbers led the field at the Valspar, despite the fact that he finished just T12. But I'm kind of a wait and see on Xander. Maybe the most I would do is like a top 20. He certainly could win. He has the championship pedigree. But, yeah, I'm not – I'm not rushing yet to bet him on an outright necessarily. I just think I need to see a little bit more, and maybe we'll see that here this week and then over the rest of April, and then he'd be certainly somebody to look at for the PGA and the U.S. Open, but not making the outrights this week for me.
Wes, we got tee times today. Obviously, weather forecasts are, you know, hey, we're a few days out. But oftentimes, majors can kind of be dictated on which part of the field we're in. Were you in the early-late window? Were you in the late-early window? Do you have any – are you factoring that into any plays whatsoever? Because now that we have some tee times, it's looking like maybe we could have some weather on Friday. It looks like Thursday is going to be great. Saturday, Sunday should be pretty great. But we should have some weather perhaps on Friday. Does that factor in at all?
It certainly does, Jeffrey. I think if you're betting like first-round leader,
yeah,
if you get into that market, because – Now, it hasn't really been that much of a bias. If you look, it's been pretty even, Steven, in terms of the AM and PM. I usually tend to prefer the AM guys on Thursday simply because I think that's where the wind is usually a little bit more calm. But looking at the forecast, we are expecting that Friday rain. So then you have the early Thursday guys having to go into Saturday. Now, that doesn't matter necessarily for first-round leader, but yeah, I think it's certainly you could get caught on a draw bias here at the Masters. It's been pretty much, you know, half the first-round leaders have been AM, half of them have been PM over the last decade or decade plus, I should say. But yeah, I do think you have to play that at least into a little bit or take that into a little bit of account, but I don't think you want to necessarily overdo it. I don't think you get the draw bias as heavily pronounced as you certainly would at like an Open Championship in July.
I mean, I'd be lying if I didn't say I was trying to find data of Rory's best rounds, because it looks like we're going to have the north wind three times this week, and I was trying to figure out when he shot the 64 if that was with the north wind, because oftentimes, like when you get the certain wind, guys that hit it one direction have an advantage. So I was not able to actually like clear it up, but yeah, I that shows you where my brain is right now.
Hey, you got to go every nook and cranny, yeah, man. everywhere you got to look. No stone unturned, no village unpillaged, trying to pick a winner of this thing.
So, Wes, I was texting with a buddy of mine who, let's just say, follows golf very closely.
Mm.
And he said Max Homa minus 130 to miss the cut is
free money.
Is a bet that you have to make. We'll start with, how bad is Max Homa right now? And then secondly, are there some other golfers that you are actively looking to fade down in Augusta?
Yeah, he's been very bad, and he's changed his swing coach. He's changed his club manufacturer. He's changed his caddy, I believe, just a couple weeks ago. So
no, this week.
Yeah, he's searching for everything. He's searching for everything right now. And, you know, Jack Nicklaus once said, Augusta is the place to come and bring your game, not find your game. So, yeah, I will not be looking toward Max Homa's direction necessarily. Now, there's always a surprise that you think is going to play bad that ends up being on that first page of the leaderboard over the weekend. I don't think it's going to be Max Homa. Sahith Theegala is another guy that's gotten off to a really rough start this year, where he was top 10. It looks like, okay, this man's going to be a winner regularly, and he's just been all over the map early on this season. I don't think he has a finish in the top 30 in any event. So Sahith Theegala would be another one I'd be looking to go at against in matchups for sure.
How are you handicapping the LIV guys?
Yeah, I think right now, if you just look at the board, I think you got a lot of them fairly priced. If you remember 2 years ago when they were kind of like out of sight, out of mind,
yeah,
it's like, well, they hadn't really played very many tournaments. And then you had big prices on these guys. And then you saw up and down the leaderboard, Mickelson finishes tied for second, Ree, Koepka, all these guys and these LIV guys really played well. So now you're getting them fair prices. I did play Patrick Reed, by the way, in a long shot at 100-1. Just because I think getting back in the winner's circle late in November on the Asian Tour, he won for the first time anywhere in 4 years, and he just gets it here. He just
will his family be there?
Yeah, probably raising a little bit of ruckus, I'm sure, at Augusta National, as they want to do. But yeah, I think these LIV guys, they're fairly priced, except for maybe Neiman, who's
yeah,
been kind of the buzz guy. I think at 25-1, 28-1, he's too low. If you got him at 50-1, great, before he got that win equity and winning over on the DP World Tour a couple times in the winter. I think you're too late to the party on him. I need to see him kind of get close in a major, and he has never done that anywhere.
Wes, I was reading through your article. You've got a couple of names that I think people would know. Justin Thomas, JT, you think he could get it done this week?
I do, and it's been a while. The last time he won is actually one I hit on him at the PGA Championship at Southern Hills in 2022. He's kind of working back to that peak form. I think he's got 7 top tens in his last 11 events dating back to last fall, 3 runner-up finishes, and the irons, like we were talking about with Morikawa. The irons really have returned for this guy. Top 8 in approach. I think the thing with Bones McKay, Mickelson's former caddy, you know, it worked until it didn't work. So now he's with Matt Minister, who's Patrick Cantlay's old bag man. And I think he's just showing more consistency now than he was when he was with Bones.
All right, Wes, if you got to pick the outright winner and you can only make one bet, what are you taking?
In a one-and-done pool, I would say Rory. But if you're betting just like prices, yep, I'm going to go with John Rahm, who I think, despite the fact that he's 3rd and 4th on the odds board, no one's really talking about him this week. Seems like he's just kind of another dude in the field, despite the fact that he won this thing 2 years ago. And he hasn't really dominated the LIV Tour like we thought he was going to, but he's never finished outside of the top 10 in any one of those events over the last year and a half. So
I was just turned on to that's apparently a free bet. Most books will offer Rahm top 10 minus 130 in a LIV event. And like, I've had a buddy that's just, he's like, I bet it like 10 straight times. It's free money.
Yeah. Yeah. Never finished outside the top 10 this year so far. 2nd, 6th, 6th, 5th, and 9th. It seems like he's off, but he's not that far away. And I think, you know, getting back to Augusta, I think that's going to get his juices going a little bit, because some of this, when he went to LIV, he obviously deal with the fallout, and he seemed a little uncomfortable at first. Now he's like, well, I made my bed, you know, now I'm going to lie in it. I made it my decision, so I lay in my bed of money going to this tour. And I think he's going to be focused at the Masters, though. I think he's going to be happy to be back down Magnolia Lane.
Wes, great stuff. We really appreciate it, my man.
You bet, guys. Thanks for having me.
That is Wes Reynolds. Go over to vsin.com. There is the Masters Hub, and you can see his column with all his best bets. Great statistical breakdown. Gives you a look at the field, who's coming in, what are the statistics that matter. Tim, I know you're not like the world's biggest golf fan, but I feel like you fall into the category of you watch the Masters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I tend to watch all of them, but
the majors,
all the majors, but
which now I think might be all the golf tournaments,
pretty much. But definitely, I mean, Masters. I mean, it is a tradition, unlike any other. You know,
that was a tough scene last night for Nance. Like, do you think
he's gonna be okay?
I don't know.
I was asking that question this morning. Had to be morning show.
That had to be real, because you know, like that goes back to like that goes back to like the 80s when he's at Houston, and I gotta imagine that brought back bad memories.
I mean, I'm not old enough to remember, but what's more devastating, the loss against NC State or the loss last night?
I mean, they're eerily similar, right? Young coach.
Both young coaches, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think you have to say the 83 one, right? Because you had, like, that Houston team's a very good team, but you did not have Hakeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler on the team.
You didn't have a nickname that still is talked about to this day, Phi Slamma Jamma.
Yeah. It is insane. 8 Final Fours, no titles. Like, that's
brutal, man. That's brutal.
That is absolutely tough. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Tim. For today's Don't Tell These Story, tell your story. I hate to do it, Tiz. He's a great man. Chuck Dunlap, who's basically the SEC's PR guy. I don't know. I think he's like the comms director now, but he's essentially the PR guy. March Madness Men's Basketball TV tweeted out that the national championship game delivers 18.1 million viewers to cap off the most watched Final Four weekend since 2017. Monday night's national championship game averaged 18.1 million viewers on CBS, up 22%, and the most watched since 2019. Chuck quote tweets, most SEC-centric tournament ever equals most viewers in years. That's it, right? Just the SEC. Pray for Danny. Pray for Danny Cannell.
Danny Cannell's having a tough day.
He'll be back in the fall. All right, my man. I'll talk to you on Friday.
All right. See you, dude.
That is Tim Murray, of course, of VSiN. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.